Hey everybody, welcome to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damian Brady and we are recording live from Build. Today I'm joined by Deepak and Vinod. What are we talking about?
Hey, today we're going to talk about continuous availability, which is basically extending the CI/CD and bringing the high confidence into the CI/CD pipeline.
It's very cool stuff. Don't miss it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damian Brady. We are recording live from Build 2018. I'm joined today by Deepak and Vinod, correct? So there's been so much stuff that's been happening at Build. One of the things I noticed last week, though, was this global dashboard that you use for Azure Health, right? So this is very cool, and we'll put some links in the show notes, but what I'm most interested about from a DevOps perspective is how do you get this availability dashboard to be always up and running, right? This is a really important thing, right? So I'm interested in the DevOps process of getting from your code into production and getting that running. So you were talking to me a little bit about a continuous availability, right? Yep. What is continuous availability? Let's start there.
Sure. Yeah. So a little bit of context here about the continuous practices we have in place in the more DevOps world about continuous integration and continuous delivery and deployment is more about having the build going continuously as continuous integration, merging into the master as the developers in the team check in, mm-hmm. and then take it further. We have a continuous delivery setup of testing that, deploying it or delivered it in the staging, and then from there we deploy it in the production pipeline, right? Which is where the CD kicks in. So that's typically we have done. So what we have practiced with this in our project lately is we said not only we do gonna do CD, after CI, we're going to extend it further to what we call continuous availability, which is basically not only deploying the bits to the same set of resources, but let's create the resources from the start.
So it's taking it a little bit further, right? So continuous integration is merging your code, continuous delivery is having that deployable, continuous deployment is actually deploying that out. But you're including not just the application, but everything required, all the infrastructure required. So when you do the deployment, it's like a brand new imprint of the entire environment, correct?
Exactly. And that's where we are seeing the value is the ability to do that from the scratch, commissioning the whole resources, the dependencies, the application needs, like Key Vault and storage and the kind of dependencies application needs, those are commissioned as the pipeline goes. And the continuous part is interesting because we do it, as I said, with every PR getting created. When it get complete, this thing kicks in. Yep. So if you have multiple check-ins in a day, you're exercising that. You're not relying on like the traditional cadence of testing or doing the drill of how your resources got created.
Right. So I think, Vinod, you're going to show us this in a second, but that's a really interesting point, the PR process of every single time there's a change, and that change eventually is going to make its way into master and make its way into, you know, the deployable actual, you know, artifact thing that goes into production, right?
Exactly.
You're testing everything before it even gets merged back into the main code base.
Exactly.
Like so spinning it right up from a hole. Yeah.
Right. And that's a good part is a very good side effect, which we saw and we see a tremendous value in the visualization apps like us, where it is very important beyond screenshot as a PR reviewer. Mm-hmm. I have an ability to actually see the application, play with it, review the PR more thoroughly and see what is in there rather than looking at the screenshot.
Okay.
Right. And then the same pipeline which we exercised for the release, we are just bringing it in the before and doing it with the PR creation.
Okay.
That's we have done it, but that may be a concern with few people if their build time is more and release time is more. So that's something to caveat there is to watch for if you want to do it more in the release. Mm-hmm. And if you have an optimized build and you can live with that, your SLAs are good enough, you can bring it to the PR creation.
Okay. Why don't we actually have a look at what you've done? Because you use VSTS to do this deployment. Vinod, why don't you show me what this process actually looks like, and then maybe we can talk about it a little bit more.
Sure.
Cool.
So basically, what I'm going to do is walk through by our build definition steps and release definition steps and explain what we are doing over there. So basically, every time a PR is completed, we build all our apps and create a deployment package for it. We also include our deployment script, ARM template, and test scripts, and then package it and publish it as an artifact to VSTS. Uh-huh. So this artifact will be used by the release definition steps.
Okay.
So let me switch to the release step here. So this is our release definition steps. So what we are doing here is we download the artifact from the VSTS and execute the deployment script. The deployment script basically is preparing all the inputs that is required for the ARM template and then execute the ARM template. One of the things the deployment script does is that it selects a random region every time and then deploys the ARM template to that region.
Okay.
So once the deployment is done, we get the new app endpoints. And then we run the end-to-end test scripts on the new endpoint.
Okay.
If the end-to-end test passes, we switch the production domain to point to the new app endpoint and delete the old resources.
Okay.
If the end-to-end test fails, we fail the release and delete the new resources.
Okay. So this is the release process. The build is pretty standard, right? You're building the artifacts and you're building the ARM.
Correct.
Yep. Template, but the release itself. Can you just run through that again?
Yeah, sure. So what the release pipeline does is that it downloads the artifact from VSTS and executes the deployment script. What the deployment script does is that it prepares all the inputs required for the ARM template to be deployed. One of the things it does is that it selects a random region and deploys the ARM template in that region.
That's interesting. I'm just going to stop you there. So
sure.
So you're picking a random Azure region and deploying the application to that random region
for every release.
For every single release. So
yeah.
Why? Like, what's the reason behind that? Is this a deliberate thing?
Oh, yes.
It sounds deliberate. Yeah. Why?
Yes, it is. Like Deepak mentioned, we want to exercise all the regions as well as when we are trying to release every time. So that's deliberately a part of it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow, but that's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're building all the artifacts. Sorry, you're building the environment, you're deploying the artifacts to the application.
Correct.
And then if it's successful or if it fails, like what happens?
So once the provisioning is successful and we get the new endpoints, mm-hmm. app endpoints, we run the end-to-end test on it.
Mm-hmm.
Only if the end-to-end test passes thoroughly, we switch the production domain to point to the new endpoint.
So it's a true kind of blue-green or canary, and then work out that it's working, and then DNS
Correct.
Switch to the new environment. And do you tear down the old one?
So we delete the old one later.
Delete the old one. Nice. You mentioned as well that there's this PR process. So this happens on every pull request?
So we also have a scenario where, like Deepak mentioned, if it's an optional scenario, if you require it, we can run this whole deployment pipeline for every PR creation or updation. So let me quickly show you one of our PR here. So what happens is, when I created this PR, our whole deployment pipeline runs, and the app endpoint that was created with the new resources is automatically added to the description of the PR. So within few minutes, you get a link where you can just click and see the change.
Wow. So this is kind of taking it to the extremes, right?
Yeah.
Where you have your application, people make a change to the code, submit a pull request, it builds the entire environment for the changes you've made, gives you a link in the PR description, and then like straight away you have access to the change that people are making.
Correct.
So you can click around if you want, approve it, in its real environment before even getting that code back into master.
Yeah, and it kind of also tie back to early feedback, right? Like as any PR does, right? Taking it to the next level, where if there is any issue with the environment, right? There is a good chance that you will get it here. Like this process will fail, and you will get a notification that the whole process fails very early in the cycle when you're creating a PR.
Right.
So it's tremendous value, and we are using it. It's not something we have done like just now. It's mm-hmm. been like more than 6 months. It's part of our day-to-day PR process.
Nice. So one thing I was going to ask as well, maybe you, Deepak, how far can you go with this? Like this is a web application. It feeds data from Azure, I guess.
Yes.
But how far can you go? A lot of applications will have databases and they'll have other third-party services and
exactly.
so on.
Exactly.
How much can you do here?
So I would say it's more applicable to web apps like app service in Azure, which is exactly how we did it, both as a web app and API app. But if you want to extend it for stateful systems like database or having transactions in system, and then you want to do this approach, that's something you can extend that to, and that's something we can build on top of it. But what we have done is more in a web app scenario. And the takeaway I want to give is really a good approach or the design and where to think about it, like, and then you can implement in the context of your application.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, any final words, pieces of advice that either of you have for people looking at doing this kind of process?
Yeah, so if we can talk about the value props, right? One of the key thing is it kind of articulates when we talk about this is the high confidence, right? You are in a very high confidence zone with when your application is running. That goes back to the availability aspect. Like it is a you ensure like it is available in different regions, right? And you are doing the whole thing from the scratch. So confidence building regarding the availability is the key here. And then doing a random region deployment, as you highlight, that's one of the thing which adds to it.
All of this really is about adding confidence to the deployment process, which is what we're all about with DevOps, right?
Right.
Okay. So when you're looking at doing this, that is the thing to focus on. How can we be confident that when we put this in production, it's actually going to work?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Any other final words, Vinod?
Not really. The biggest challenge that we had was when we had to do HTTPS binding on our production domain.
Okay.
That was the challenging part because there is no direct API where you can just call for the app service to do the HTTPS binding.
Right.
But
okay.
It's all a learning, and it was a good learning for us.
So there's still some rough areas, some things that you look out might need to look out for.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys, for showing me this. It's one of the coolest things I've seen, this gigantic dashboard. And we'll put some show notes in there so people can see them if you're interested. But otherwise, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Damon.
Yeah, we'll see you next time on the DevOps Lab.